Welcome to the R&R Show with Sam and Jacob from First Baptist Church of Sanford. We're here to give you a ready response as we apply God's Word to some of life's questions. Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the R&R Show. Today, we want to talk about the Scriptures. Specifically, we want to ask this question, can I trust the Bible? I think this is a good question for us to deal with today, Jacob.
Yeah, since that's what we're always referring to, we should be going for our guidance. We probably need to establish that.
That's a good way to put it. This is a foundational show today because we're going to deal with something that we refer to time and time again, the Bible. We look to the Scriptures for direction. And so we want to ask this question, which may be in some people's minds, can I trust the Bible? And I think it is something that's worth exploring. When we think about where to go to answer this question, there are several places, but I believe the best way to begin is by looking at the Bible itself, because it gives some direction. It gives us a clue as to how we should answer whether it is trustworthy. And there are a couple of passages in mind. I want to start, though, Jacob, with 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Verse 16.
Go ahead and read that, would you please?
All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 from the English Standard Version. Thank you. So let's break this down a little bit. And I think in particular, Jacob, we want to address this phrase, breathed out by God. First of all, it says all scripture, so not just a portion of it, but all scripture is breathed out by God.
So not just the verses that I like, right?
Correct. Not just the ones that you agree with personally, but all of it is breathed out by God. And we don't want to get hyper-technical, but we do want to at least give it a fair treatment. And so one of the things I want to begin with is this Greek word theopneustos, because that Greek word theopneustos is translated in the ESV as breathed out by God. Your translation might say inspired by God, but let's think about this. It's the only time we find this word in the Greek Bible. Theopneustos, breathed out by God. There's some implications there for us. If all scripture is breathed out by God, what would that tell us, Jacob?
I think the first thing that jumps into my mind is that it is coming from God. If he's breathing it out, then he is the source of it. He's where we're getting it from.
Yes, and when we think about breathed out by God, or inspired, we think of the Holy Spirit. God is three persons, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we won't look at all the other scriptures, but one of the areas that the Holy Spirit is specifically shown to be actively involved in, taking the lead perhaps of the three persons of the Trinity, it is the inspiration of scripture. It is giving us the Bible. And when we think about the fact that it says that all scripture is breathed out by God, it also makes us think about the Holy Spirit right there, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Like we talked about over lunch, the word in Hebrew for spirit is the same as breath. So it's kind of a little bit of a wordplay going on. There's some symbolism that maybe some readers back then might have picked up on.
Right, right. Ruach, breath, wind, spirit. And so there are places in the New Testament that teach us that the Holy Spirit will give us the scripture. Do you have one of those scriptures handy?
Yeah.
Places in scripture.
So like on Sunday mornings, we've been going through the Gospel of John at church, and this text comes from John chapter 14. This is John 14 verses 25 and 26. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, these things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you.
That's an important scripture, because the Holy Spirit, the helper, the one that Jesus is going to send, he tells his disciples, that is how we get the scripture. He is the one that gave the prophets and the apostles the scripture. God worked through their personalities, but it's from the Spirit that we have the Bible.
And I think that's a really relevant verse too, because a lot of times when we talk about, can I trust scripture? Is it true? You know, some people will say, well, that's just what that particular writer wrote, or that's what that particular writer remembered. But here we have Jesus saying, hey, look, when I'm gone, the Holy Spirit's going to come and remind you of these things and teach you these things. So the Holy Spirit is a lot more involved than what those people would be given it credit.
That's an important point. I think specifically some people might say, well, 2 Timothy, that's Paul writing, and that's just his own opinion. That's his own view. But Jacob, you pointed this back to Jesus's own words.
We're big on Jesus.
We are. And Jesus was big on scripture. Jesus didn't have one level of scripture for the gospels and another level for the epistles and another for the Old Testament books. And that's important for us to remember. There aren't differing levels of scripture, but if someone were to question whether this is really a valid argument to make from 2 Timothy, we could also point them to Jesus's own words. And so I think that's very clear. Go ahead.
We also have a solid verse from 2 Peter chapter 1. You want me to read that?
Sure.
So 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 20 and 21. It says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
So here we have Peter talking about scripture, and he has a very high view of scripture in this sense. It doesn't come from man. It's not from someone's own interpretation. It's not by the will of man, but from where? Where does the prophecy of scripture come from?
In each of these cases, in all three verses that we have looked at so far, they're coming from God, especially the Holy Spirit.
That's right. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So when we go to the Bible itself, the Bible's testimony about itself is that it comes from God. And so that is some internal evidence about whether we can trust the Bible. If it comes from God, then what does it tell us about itself? What can we derive from that? If God breathes out scripture, if all of prophecy of scripture, which is another way of saying all of the Bible, if it's from God, is there, and it's written by men as they're carried along from the Holy Spirit, what are some conclusions we can draw about the nature of scripture?
Well, it's going to be true.
Yes.
It's going to be powerful. It's not going to be wishy-washy. It's not going to be changing. It's dependable, faithful.
Exactly, because if it's from God, it's going to reflect his character. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make errors. God is faithful.
Right.
And so when we look at the internal evidence to answer this question, can I trust the Bible? The Bible is clear. It is trustworthy because it comes from God himself.
And I think it's also, we've already said, we really want to point out that it's all scripture. It's not just certain parts. You know, we've all heard people say they're red letter Christians. Right. They only want to look at what Jesus says, or some people don't like Paul. But
right,
according to scripture, it's
right,
all true. It's, well, all breathed out by God.
A couple weeks ago, we're going through John chapter 10. Remember Jesus said, and scripture cannot be broken. And that's from a relatively obscure scripture. Not that it's not important, but I think we can say that without being disrespectful. If Jesus thinks that some kind of obscure passage in Psalms cannot be broken, means it can't be emptied of its force, it means all of scripture cannot be broken.
I think it's even more telling that he kind of says it in a passing way. Like, Jesus doesn't have to go, wait a minute, I've got something groundbreaking here, attention.
That's,
it's
right,
just kind of a passing thing, like, well, oh yeah, of course, you know, scripture's not going to be broken. He doesn't have to.
No, the Jews, his enemies aren't going to argue with that.
Yeah, no one there is arguing that point with Jesus. It's just a given that it's true.
All right. Well, we want to hear from you today. We're not done exploring this question. There's a lot more to talk about, but we would like to hear your questions or comments if you have any. 919-775-1050. Please call in 919-775-1050. Jacob, I'm going to do this again. I believe we actually have some listeners that are on Twitter. So I'm going to give them our Twitter handle. Can I
go
do that?
For it. All yeah, right. Yeah, go ahead.
At @r_rradio. You can follow us on Twitter at @r_rradio. And if you follow us, you can direct message us with your questions or comments. Okay, Jacob, I'm going to push back a little bit on this. Someone may be saying, well, you've only looked at Scripture to argue your case, to say that the Bible is trustworthy. But the Bible that we have today, it's full of errors. I mean, that's just accepted, right? I mean, we don't have the original writing of Paul or Peter, much less David in the Psalms that he wrote. So maybe it was correct when it was originally written, but what we have today, we just know that it's full of errors. I mean, they taught me that up at my college or my university in that one religion class I took. So we can't really trust the Bible, what we have today in terms of the Bible.
Well, there's a lot of things to say to that. We've already talked about internal support for the the truth of Scripture, but there's lots of external support. You know, we have things we can go through with historical evidence and the amount of manuscripts and things like that. Oh, it looks like we've got a caller, Sam.
Welcome to the R&R show. Who are we speaking with?
Sorry, we're having a little bit of trouble.
Sorry, caller, if you could try to call back, maybe we would be able to hear you a little bit better.
Hear you. So we were talking about the external support, historical things and things like that. Sam, you want to spend a little bit of time talking about the amount of manuscripts that we have of the New Testament and things like that?
Well, Josh McDowell, one of my favorite books when I was a new Christian, called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. He has also written The New Evidence That Demands a Verdict, and we would point you to those works. He notes, Josh McDowell and others also note, that we have a tremendous amount of manuscript evidence to support the truth of the Bible. There are a tremendous amount of manuscripts. In fact, the number that McDowell puts it at is we have over 66,000 some manuscripts and scrolls for the Bible. Now, those wouldn't be manuscripts that would have complete books of the Bible, although the Dead Sea Scrolls, which provided further support for the existing manuscript evidence we already had, actually had an almost fully intact, complete manuscript of Isaiah. So some of those are quite extensive.
Let's put that into perspective a little bit for our listeners, because when you throw that number out, let's compare how many manuscripts we have in the New Testament to say, like, how many copies of the Iliad or Odyssey, things like that.
Okay, so 66,000 plus manuscripts and scrolls for the Bible. Second place goes to, in terms of ancient literature, second place goes to Homer's The Iliad with just over 1,800. So 66,000, we'll round up to 2,000. And how do we approach Homer and the Iliad? We don't seem to question whether Homer really wrote that.
Yeah, I haven't heard very many people question that or really want to nitpick over, you know, how old it is or how many sources we have. I mean, we just kind of take that blindly.
Right. We don't say, well, you know, the original Iliad would have put it this way.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the other thing is there's so many historical figures and texts that are outside the Bible that support things that Scripture tells us. You know, we know that Jesus is mentioned by name by over 30 extra biblical sources, people like Josephus and people like that. We got another caller on the line, Sam.
Hello, welcome to the R&R show.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Just fine.
Great, you have a question or comment for us?
Well, my comment is, the question is, can I trust the Bible? And I can only speak from my own personal point of view. Right off the top, I've been around a long time. I've lived many, many years, and my life experiences reaffirm everything the Bible says. I also have to trust the Bible. We have faith in something, whether it's the Bible or you got to have faith in someone. So the ultimate question is, are you having faith in something reliable? And if you have faith in anything other than God and His Word, you are on pretty shaky ground. One of the last points, and I'll get off the line here, is there was one time when Jesus was out with His disciples, and He asked His disciples the question, but who do you say that I am? And they gave all kinds of reasons. Other people believed, well, you're so-and-so, but they said, Jesus said to them, but who do you say I am?
Yes.
And that's ultimately the question that every one of us has to ask in a very personal way to Jesus Christ. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, in answer to the question, said, where else can I go? Jesus was the only person he could go to and rely on. That's about all I've got to say.
Well, you've said some really great things, A.B. We appreciate you calling in. Thank you for that.
Uh-huh.
Ultimately, the goal is not for us to... We're not worshiping Scripture. We're worshiping the God of Scripture. And I think that's a great call right there, because that is the emphasis. We want to know who Jesus is. We want to know more about Him. We want to follow Him faithfully. But in order to do that, we need the Scriptures. And we need to ask this question, can we trust the Bible? Can we trust the Scriptures? So we've looked at this. There's a huge discrepancy between the amount of manuscript evidence that we have for the Bible and for second place, Homer. And so, you know, right there is just a tremendous amount of support for the Bible's trustworthiness, because we do have what's called textual criticism, where scholars, it's a science and an art, but they can look at all of these different manuscripts. Having all of these numerous manuscripts allows them to get to so close to the original text, because they can compare all of these different texts. We can look at the later ones, and we can make judgments based on scientific textual evidence about what the text originally said. And that's important.
And, you know, one thing that people often say is that, well, you know, the texts that we have were written so long after Jesus, so far after the Gospels and things like that, but that's really just incorrect. It's not a true statement. We have manuscripts from as early as, what, Sam, 35 years after the Gospel of Luke was written?
Right, 35 to 40 years from the time that the original was written. We have manuscripts that date from just 30, 40 years later, whereas some liberal scholars want to say, no, these Gospels were written in the late 2nd century, and a lot of this has shown to just be false, these arguments against these manuscripts being early. Well, someone could come back, though, and say, look, we have seen some variants, though. In fact, we've seen hundreds of thousands of variants in these manuscripts. So that just shows that we've got a Bible full of errors. And Daryl Bach and some other scholars, including Josh McDowell, they commented on this, and they said 90% of those 400,000 or so variants evaporate as simple spelling errors and word order. They give the example, it's like honor, H-O-N-O-R, spelled H-O-N-O-R-O-R versus H-O-N-O-U-R. And it's just a difference of, it's a clear spelling error.
Just a typo.
Right, right. And they say this, none of those texts that are in question affect any central teaching of Christian doctrine or practice. Okay? And also, Daryl Bach, he's a New Testament scholar, was at DTS. He will note that many of these so-called contradictions in the Bible are just different ways of telling the same story. Indifference does not equal contradiction. It's just difference. One text may be more precise than another, but they'll both be accurate.
Yeah, I also think, Sam, sometimes it can be exciting to talk about the archaeological evidence that supports Scripture. You know, we've talked about how before in the past there were lots of things that people would point to in God's word, and they would say, well, look, we know this is wrong because this town doesn't exist.
Right.
We know this is wrong because
Nazareth was never mentioned anywhere else.
Right. People made the claim Nazareth didn't exist. There were people groups. And yet, the more archaeology that is done, the more the Bible has been proved to be right, more and more. Do you have any examples of that that you could share?
Well, the Nazareth question, skeptics used to say, well, we have no record of Nazareth, so therefore the New Testament can't be true. And they'd also point out, hey, there's no proof of these Hittite people. We don't have any proof of them, so the Old Testament can't be true. Well, guess what happened? Archaeology and associated research have shown that both existed. I love what McDowell says. Now you can go to Harvard or anywhere else and study the Hittite language. So these archaeological discoveries, Jacob, yes, they have confirmed that the Bible has given us an accurate record.
You know, there's lots of things that I've heard people say. You know, for a long time, people would say that there was no mention of Pontius Pilate, that was not a historically accurate figure. Well, guess what?
In Caesarea,
now we've found evidence that there was a Pontius Pilate and different things through archaeology. And the more culture digs, the more and more that Scripture has been proven to be true.
That's right. And I think the most important thing about the evidence that Scripture is true is the testimony of the Holy Spirit. When a person goes to the Bible and reads the Bible, God many times will use the reading of Scripture, going and reading the Gospel of John, for example, to lead that person to a saving relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. And there will be people that, I'm sure you've heard examples of this, Jacob, where someone was an avowed atheist, a skeptic, and they went to read the Bible to prove that it wasn't true.
Yep.
And lo and behold, what happens?
They end up getting converted.
They end up getting converted. And then when we are converted, when we come to that place in our lives where we receive Christ as our Savior and Lord, then we come to understand the more we read Scripture, the more its veracity, its authority, its power is evident as we read. We come to understand that it's true by virtue of itself.
DJ Roy is over here laughing because he's literally just pulled up a news website, CBS News, and today, on there today is an article, Modern Forensics Offers Clues in 2,600-year-old Biblical Mystery. Just another example where Scripture is being proven to be correct.
That's right. Now, ultimately, I wanted to bring up the testimony of Scripture, the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit, because archaeology, historical research, those will never convince, I don't think, someone that the Bible is true alone. Those are just ways to support the truth of Scripture, that it is true. But it's the Holy Spirit working in a person's heart that convinces them of the truth of Scripture. Well, there's also this argument, Jacob. People may say, well, I don't know in terms of the authority of the Bible or whether I can trust the Bible. Maybe I trust the Bible, but I trust it to mean whatever I think it means. And that's kind of how they trust the Bible. And that's not what we're arguing for here, that we're not saying you can trust the Bible and therefore it can mean anything you want it to mean. I don't want someone to take what we're saying in that direction.
No, that would be inaccurate. If you're not worshiping, you know, the God of the Bible or the God that the Bible itself describes, then more than likely what you've done is made up your own God who likes the same things as you and hates the same things as you, and you're worshiping a false God.
And the Roman Catholic Church, they have a different view of Scripture than Protestants do. Some may claim this, that they don't. We have an equal understanding. But if you look at their official teaching, they actually equate tradition with Scripture. They claim that the church has ultimate authority on what Scripture means. And they look at the teachings of the church and place it on the same level as the Bible itself. As Protestants, Baptists, we're not technically Protestants as Baptists, but we're close. we would have a view of Scripture that would differ from that Roman Catholic Church view, and we would say no, that Scripture alone is authoritative. However, it doesn't mean, Jacob, that we don't consider tradition or other items involving the church to be unhelpful. In fact, those can be helpful correctives and safeguards the church and church history to having this over-individualized interpretation of Scripture. Can you flesh that out a little bit?
Yeah, one of the things that helps us out is if I, Jacob, am reading the Bible all by myself, then occasionally I'm probably going to get into some errors, or I'm going to misunderstand something, or kind of take it in a direction that, maybe I shouldn't. However, if I'm in a community of faith, if I'm doing what the New Testament tells me to, and I'm involved in a local church, I'm being mentored by older Christians, I'm with other believers looking at the Word, then those are kind of safeguards that are going to help me stay in correct theology. If I'm thinking something wrong or misunderstanding Scripture, then the older believers in my life who've been walking with God a long time are going to say, well, wait a minute, Jacob, let's look at that again. Or, people in my Sunday school are going to go, well, we don't see it that way. And it kind of helps us stay in line. That's one of the benefits of being involved in a church.
That's very well said. And just to recap, to answer this question, can I trust the Bible? We would answer unequivocally, yes. Yes, we can trust the Bible. But we would also go on to say that in order to understand the Bible, we need to take advantage of all these gifts of grace that God has given us, including these older Christians that have been walking for the Lord, studying the Bible for many, many years, those that are in our local church, our pastors, our elders, those that can help us. And we don't want to come to a place where we have an overly individualized interpretation of Scripture, one that is so historically ignorant that we think if it's not from the 21st century, it can't be right. We want to read what some of the old people wrote.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite quotes from Charles Spurgeon was, "Rest assured, beloved, there is nothing new in theology except that which is false."
I love that.
Yeah. Anytime I can quote Spurgeon, I'm throwing it in there. So,
there was a guy at a church we attended back in Texas, and he said, "Well, every quote I hear is attributed to Spurgeon. I mean, if you're not sure who said it, just say Spurgeon said it."
It was probably him.
I think it was Spurgeon did say that. Well, this is important. It's an important topic. It is the foundation for the Christian life. We worship Christ. We want to serve Him. He is our Savior. But we know who He is from the Word of God, from the Bible. Go read over 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Those are key passages for the inspiration of Scripture. Jacob, any closing thoughts before we say goodbye?
I would just say that, we've spent all this time talking about how you can trust the Bible. I would say that if you're intimidated by Scripture or feel like you have a hard time understanding it, pray that God would help you while you read it. I mean, that is, God is going to help you understand that you're not in it by yourself. Just say, Lord, I'm going to spend some time in your word. Help me gain some truth from this.
Absolutely. It's not for the experts only, but God has given us the local church. He has given us other Christians to help us in our Christian walk.
And the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit, the most important God. We'll see you next week. God bless. We want to thank you for listening to the R&R Show today. And look, if you don't have a church home currently, we'd like to invite you to visit us at the First Baptist Church of Sanford.
Yep, we're located at 202 Summit Drive here in Sanford, and we're currently having an outdoor service at 8:30. So bring your lawn chair and meet up with us in the morning.
We look forward to seeing you then.